Now, a preview of our next tale.
I am told that Eli Warrington has fallen at Monmouth. I thought you might wish to know.
Thank you, Reverend.
He died bravely for his country. And I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive him.
I will not forgive him.
Charity?
On that Sunday, that awful Sunday, I swore I'd kill him.
But the boy is already dead.
He'll live again. I'll live again. I'll find him and kill him.
If only I could help you, Charity.
No one can help me. And no one can help Eli. Somewhere, somehow, someday, I'll have my revenge.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. KOIN, AM 97, FM 101, Portland.
CBS News, the long-awaited second communication from a revolutionary group calling itself the Symbionese Liberation Army has been received by San Francisco newspaper publisher Randolph Hearst. This is Harry Burrell reporting for the CBS Radio Network. Once again, the communique was sent to Berkeley radio station KPFA, and the letter included a cassette tape and a demand. The tape contains the voice of Hearst's kidnapped daughter, Patricia Campbell Hearst, and the voice of one of her abductors. The letter demands the Hearst family distribute millions of dollars of food to California's needy and aged. On the tape, Miss Hearst assures her father that she is in good condition, but her life could be endangered if a rescue attempt is made, or if her father doesn't take the demand seriously.
The SLA is, is very interested in seeing how you're taking this, Dad, and they want to make sure that you are really serious and listening to what they're saying. And they think that you've been taking this whole thing a lot more seriously than the police and the FBI and other federal people have been taking it. And it seems to be getting to the point where they're not worried about you so much as they're worrying about other people, or at least I am. It's really up to you to make sure that these people don't jeopardize my life by charging in and doing stupid things.
The voice of Patricia Hearst. After the tape was played, San Francisco Examiner publisher Randolph Hearst met with reporters outside his Hillsboro home. Hearst says he accepts the recording as proof that his daughter is alive. He also says he will try to comply with the demands of the group, including not trying to rescue his daughter.
I'd like to assure these people that nobody's going to go running up on a house and start shooting it up. Patty referred to an incident over in the East Bay the other day. I think it was sort of a ridiculous thing. You don't go out to a house with a television camera. I don't understand that one myself. All I can say is that I've been told by the police force and by the FBI that the primary order is for the safety of Patricia.
San Francisco Examiner publisher Randolph Hearst. More CBS News in a minute.
If you've been thinking of buying a car, but decided to put it off until conditions settle down a bit, here are some facts you should know. Right now, you can get some truly remarkable buys on previously owned Cadillacs. Late model Cadillacs, including many one-owner cars. And right now, there's a magnificent selection to choose from. Because Cadillac new car sales have been at a record high, so Cadillac trade-ins have been coming in at a rapid pace. And that means that right now you can expect deals. The kind of deals that are exceptionally attractive. There are Eldorados, DeVilles, Bromes. They may be pre-owned, but they're still Cadillacs. And many have more features than some new cars, which is one way to get multiple passenger roominess, comfort, and ride without sacrificing economy. But don't wait. They won't be available at these prices forever. Why not look into it? Test drive a previously owned Cadillac at your authorized Cadillac dealers now.
A hitch has developed in the Conference of Oil-Consuming Nations in Washington. A communique outlining a response to the Arab oil embargo was to have been made public this afternoon, but France is holding out against the dozen other nations involved in the conference. The French foreign minister says no communique will be issued today, adding perhaps tomorrow. France apparently is insisting that the oil crisis be turned over to the United Nations, leaving nations free to make individual deals with the Arab states. U.S. oil firms operating in the Middle East may soon receive more bad news. Saudi Arabia reportedly is on the verge of demanding that four U.S. companies give up their shares in the Arabian American Oil Company. Saudi Arabia's King Faisal will be in Algiers tomorrow for a meeting with three other Arab heads of state. The official communique announcing the conference does not give the purpose of the meeting, but it's expected that the oil embargo and disengagement of forces along the Israeli-Syrian border will be discussed. Faisal will meet with the presidents of Egypt, Syria, and Algeria. The Federal Energy Office is cracking down on service station owners who show favoritism toward regular customers or those who pay in advance for purchases of gasoline during times of short supply. FEO Director William Simon says any motorist who feels he's being discriminated against should get in touch with the Internal Revenue Service. And Pan American World Airways will file suit against the Federal Energy Office seeking an injunction against airline fuel regulations. Pan Am's board chairman, William Seawall, contends the rules discriminate against international carriers. Now this message.
Hey, what you got there?
Every month, month after month, 42 million American men and women get all wrapped up in the same thing. It's what helps them deal with money problems, with the concerns of the young and the old, with the unspoken gulfs that can appear in a marriage. It helps them with their income tax, their jobs, understanding the government, and even in the elusive pursuit of self-knowledge. Reader's Digest, it's the world's bestseller. You don't have to wonder why.
Police in Buenos Aires say they have foiled an attempt to assassinate Argentine President Juan Perón, his wife, and the visiting president of Uruguay. The police chief says the murder plot was planned by what he termed an extremist group. One member of that group is reported to be in custody. Justice Department officials say more indictments are expected in connection with an investigation of housing program fraud. Task forces are looking into alleged wrongdoing in several western cities, including Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle. The purported schemes reportedly involve Federal Housing Administration employees, bank and mortgage officials, contractors, and real estate agents suspected of turning in false payment vouchers to the government. The Justice Department has disclosed that a federal grand jury in Phoenix has indicted eight businessmen on charges of using the mails to defraud persons buying land in Arizona. The alleged swindle involves 3,000 purchases exceeding $10 million. In total value. The New York Stock Market Report in a minute.
Sunshine, things are growing, things are going well with you and me. Future planned together, a rich good life together, and things look bright as they can be.
Life knows how important the future is to you and your family. We've been preparing hard for the future so that your Metropolitan representative is qualified to help you prepare for it better. Because the better prepared you are, the better your future will be.
The New York stock market closed higher today in fairly moderate trading. The Dow Jones closing stock averages showed 30 industrials, 806.63, up 2.73. 20 transportations, 180.87, up 0.86. 15 utilities, 93.93, down 0.04. And 65 stocks, 260.35, up 0.81. Volume on the New York Exchange, 12,920,000 shares. Harry Burrell for CBS News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense, to the fear you can hear, to the world of terrifying imagination. They say hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And perhaps it's true. But the question is, how long can that fury endure? How long can the passions burn? Well, Miss Charity Youngblood was left waiting at the church some 200 years ago, and she still isn't over it.
Sheriff's Office, Deputy Palmer speaking.
Sheriff, there's someone who wants to murder me.
Yes, sir. Your name, sir?
Well, is that important?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, I hesitate to give you my name because you might think I'm unbalanced.
Now, why would I think that?
Because of the peculiar circumstances involved.
Why don't you let me be the judge of that?
Well, this young lady wants to kill me, and she's armed.
What's her name?
Well, I wouldn't want her to get into trouble.
What?
She doesn't look like a killer, and besides, I can't prove it. It's just that I know it.
Now, sir, calm yourself and tell me, why does she want to kill you?
Because I broke our engagement.
No, it's possible. Now, when did you break that engagement?
Oh, about 200 years ago.
Mystery drama, A Dream of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Michael Tolan. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be.
The new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in a new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from, a pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls, friendly service, and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
It makes sense to invest in your heart. Who knows? It may save your life. I'm the Oregon Heart Association's Wise Owl, and I know. Reduce if overweight. Cut down or stop cigarette smoking. Have regular medical checkups. Exercise regularly. Reduce cholesterol intake. Control high blood pressure. Follow my advice, and you can reduce your risk of heart attack and stroke. It makes sense to invest in your heart.
Sometimes, a few notes of an incomplete melody may steal through your head. It isn't like any tune you know, and yet you've heard it before. For no reason, a name, a noise, an aroma may evoke a dim and distant memory. A memory of a place you cannot clearly remember, but it's a place you cannot completely forget. A great poet said, "Life is a dream, and even dreams are dreams." Perhaps. But sooner or later, there must be an awakening for every dream. And for Rexford Patterson, there was the rudest awakening of all.
Hey, Patterson, wake up. Your lawyer's here.
Huh? What?
Your lawyer's here.
Lawyer? Why? What do I want a lawyer for? Where am I?
You're in a jailhouse.
Jailhouse? How did I get... I demand to see a lawyer.
Mister, no sooner said than done. He's all yours, Counselor.
All right, Sheriff, if you would leave us.
Bang on the door when you want out, Counselor.
Who are you? Why am I in here?
My name is Peter Evans. I'm an attorney. I was retained by the university on your behalf.
Why do I need a lawyer?
Why? Well, you're going to be tried for murder.
Who is?
You are.
But that's impossible.
You don't remember.
Murder?
Murder.
No.
According to the sheriff, you were found unconscious on the floor of your study and she'd been shot.
Who?
Your fiancée.
Charity? I killed Charity?
No. Madeline Betty, your fiancé, Madeline Betty Powers. Who's Charity?
Charity. Charity Youngblood. She was my fiancé.
You had two of them? Look, we know you were engaged to Madeline Betty Powers. Now you say you were also engaged to a Miss Charity Youngblood?
Yes.
Well, what happened to that engagement?
I broke it.
Was the parting amicable?
No.
How did Miss Youngblood take it?
She was hurt, angry. She was violent.
What do you mean, violent?
She swore she would make me regret it. She swore she would have a revenge.
Can you prove any of this?
Oh, yes.
How?
I have it in writing.
Well, now, this may throw a new light on the case. When did you break your engagement to Miss Youngblood?
When? About 200 years ago.
Good. You see, if we can produce written evidence... When did you say you broke this engagement?
I was killed at the Battle of Monmouth in 78. And 3 years before that would be, the early spring of 1775.
Allow me to suggest the only plea that will save you. Insanity.
No, I will insist that we plead the truth.
Well, what is the truth?
Self-defense. I killed Charity Youngblood in self-defense.
All right. Look. Now, you may have killed Miss Youngblood in self-defense 200 years ago, but that's over. It's gone. It's done with. Nobody wants you for that. You're going to be tried for the murder of Madeline Betty Powers.
Exactly. Charity Youngblood is Madeline Betty Powers.
Professor Patterson.
You're my attorney. I have to tell you the truth.
But I can't believe it.
But I can prove it. Look, go to my apartment. In the middle drawer of my desk, there's a book. An old book, an old leather notebook. Bring it here. You'll see. You'll see for yourself. Proof. You read the book?
Yes. It's a diary kept by a girl named Charity Youngblood, daughter of a Connecticut gunsmith during the Revolutionary War. She was jilted by a young officer named Eli Wallington. Naturally, she was quite upset about it. But where is the proof you promised me?
I was that young officer. I was Eli Wallington.
Well, look, Professor Patterson, if I'm to represent you, you'll simply have to
tell the truth. I know the truth. But I tell you the truth and you refuse to believe me.
It's impossible to believe you.
Impossible. That's the key word. Well, today's commonplace was yesterday's impossibility. People said it was impossible to transplant a heart, impossible to walk on the moon.
You're talking about reincarnation.
Last summer, I stopped at an antique shop in central Connecticut. Heaped high on a counter was a pile of old pictures, letters, books. I picked up that little notebook, the one you're now holding. I read that name, that hand-lettered name, Charity Youngblood. And suddenly I felt as if I'd been stabbed through the heart. I knew that name. I knew that name.
Please, Professor Patterson.
No, don't tell me to be calm. Don't humor me. Just listen to me. I knew that name. I knew the girl. I knew the time. I knew the place. Turn to the page where she describes how he proposed to her.
Just don't see how
just
all of...
Just do it.
Is this what you want? Monday. Eli proposed marriage to me this morning.
I read the name Eli. An electric shock ran through my system. I knew I was Eli. And the entire scene ran through my mind. Exactly as she wrote it in her diary. Exactly. Good morning, Charity.
Oh, it's the high and mighty Lieutenant Eli Wallington. Come to see my father? Hmm? Well, that pistol of yours isn't ready.
I've come to see you, Charity. I've been foolish.
It doesn't interest me.
Charity, I love you.
Oh, yes, you love me.
Believe me.
Oh, I believe you. You love me here. You love me now. But tomorrow you'll be somewhere else. You'll see someone else. You'll love someone else.
Men are fools. We don't realize at first how important it is to have a woman who really loves us. And you love me.
Please go.
Marry me, Charity.
Eli?
We'll have the banns on Sunday and marry the week after. Now come, close the shop. We'll go riding this morning.
But I promised Father...
Let's be together this morning. Come with me.
Oh, Eli, you're a scoundrel.
Yes, Charity. But I'm your scoundrel.
You must never forget that, Eli. Never forget that.
What are you trying to tell me, Professor Patterson?
Don't you see, as Eli Wallington, I had lived through that scene. I knew how I felt. I loved her.
How do you know you were Eli Wallington?
How do we know you're Peter Evans? You know, you just know, that's all.
None of this is proof in a court of law.
You can read in her diary. Yes, Sunday. The banns were read in the church. But Eli never married her. Do you know why? Because Charity was right. The very next week, Eli was somewhere else. He saw someone else. He loved someone else. He never saw Charity again. And 3 years later, he was dead at Monmouth. Turn to Charity's diary. See what she wrote when she heard the news of Eli's death. Here's the evidence you need to defend me in court. Read it.
All right. Friday. This morning, the Reverend Fallowfield came into the shop with news.
Charity, I am told that Eli Warrington has fallen at Monmouth. I thought you might wish to know.
Thank you, Reverend.
He died bravely for his country. And I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive him.
I will not forgive him.
Charity.
On that Sunday, that awful Sunday, I swore I'd kill him.
But the boy is already dead.
He'll live again. I'll live again. I'll find him and kill him.
Give up this frightful hatred before it destroys you.
He won't escape.
If only I could help you, Charity.
No one can help me. And no one can help Eli. Somewhere, somehow, someday, I'll have my revenge.
And when I picked up that diary in the antique shop, Mr. Evans, I was almost frozen with terror. I knew I had come back. Why shouldn't she? But you know something? After a while, I began to laugh at myself.
Why?
Well, for the same reason you're probably laughing at me. After all, we live in the modern, rational 20th century. Every night, I'd sit alone at home and wait. Wait for Charity to come and kill me. And nothing happened.
She didn't show up.
No. And you can't maintain an emotional pitch forever. And so soon, I stopped thinking about it. And then one afternoon, I was sitting in my study. Come in. It's not locked.
Good afternoon, Professor Patterson.
Yes. Let me see. You're Miss...
Powers. Madeline Betty Powers. I'm scheduled for a conference at exactly 1500 hours.
1500 hours?
3 p.m. We use this terminology at the engineering school.
Oh, I see. You're an engineering major, Miss Powers?
Have you any objections?
Oh, no, certainly not.
Professor, I require 3 credits in the humanities for my degree. I chose your American history course.
I am flattered.
It was the only one open.
You shouldn't have said that.
Oh, I have no interest in the dead past, only in the dynamic present. How can I survive your course?
First, show up for class, occasionally. Second, don't snore too loudly at my lectures. Third, write me a term paper.
On what subject?
Oh, any subject related to the Revolutionary War.
I know what I'll do. I'll write a novel.
Miss Powers, what are you saying?
Yes, a novel. A novel about a girl.
But, Miss Powers, you ask for an easy way out. A novel is the most difficult project.
You know what gave me the idea for it, Professor? This antique pistol on your desk.
What? Broken down, rusty old relic.
It just came to me. By just looking at it. I'll write about a girl whose father was a gunsmith.
What did you say?
In one of the 13 colonies, Connecticut.
But, Miss Powers, do you know anything about Connecticut during the Revolution?
No, I'll make it up. After all, it's a novel.
Have you ever been to Connecticut?
No, never in my life. Now, the girl, the heroine of my novel will be beautiful, sexy. I can see her. I can just see what she looks like. And her name, I even know her name.
What is it?
I think I have a good one. Her name...
No, don't tell me. Write it down on a piece of paper. But don't let me see what you're writing.
But why?
Please do as I ask, Miss Powers.
All right.
You've written her name?
Yes, Professor.
Her name is Charity. Charity Youngblood.
Professor Patterson, how did you know?
How does he know? Funny how these things work out, no? You can never tell who you'll come back as. Devil-may-care adventurer Eli Warrington becomes a serious, sober professor of history. Sexy Charity returns as a budding lady scientist. But she still has a mission. Murder. We'll return shortly with Act Two.
You don't see many salt in their beer nowadays. Not that there's anything wrong with salt on radishes or French fries, but man, not in the king of beers. Truth is, the only thing salt can do for Budweiser is make it salty. An unwise thing to do to the only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Unsalted Budweiser has become the most popular beer in the world. That's because in brewing Bud, the Budweiser brewmaster goes all the way for a taste, a smoothness, a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. And something else you can take without a grain of salt. The fact that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator. Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
What is it, Angel?
Sam, I went down there just like you said, and it was awful, Sam. They told me the trouble with my hairdryer isn't covered by the guarantee. What'll I do without my hairdryer, Sam?
I'll help you.
You're not Sam.
No, I'm from your Better Business Bureau with some good advice about appliance guarantees. Know what the guarantee covers before you buy something. And the next time, don't wait until your product fails to find out how good your guarantee is.
Sam, did you hear that?
Take it easy, Angel. Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Professor Patterson, a quiet teacher of history, is in jail, accused of killing his fiancée. He doesn't deny it. What he's desperately trying to prove is that he killed the one he had 200 years ago.
Where, Miss Powers, have you heard that name, Charity Youngblood, before?
Nowhere. I made it up.
You made it up?
Charity sounds like a name a girl might have had 200 years ago. And Youngblood has a kind of colonial quality to it. Charity Youngblood, it just sort of popped into my head.
And it all, everything just came to you? The whole idea for the novel, the heroine, her name, it all occurred to you just now?
Yes, that's right, Professor Patterson. I simply can't account for it. It has no scientific basis. But suddenly, I have feelings that I've never experienced before.
What sort of feelings?
I can't describe them. Vague ideas, hazy pictures.
Of?
But this woman, this girl, this Charity Youngblood, she's a creature of my own imagination. I only conjured her up a few moments ago, and yet she's seems to be alive.
Give it up, Miss Powers. You know, sometimes when you write fiction, the character takes over. And unless you're a skilled professional author, this can be dangerous. Just attend class, look intelligent, and you'll pass the course.
Well, Professor, that wouldn't be ethical.
Miss Powers, we'll just let that be our secret.
Midnight, but I must see you at once, please.
Well,
Mr. Thornton.
Where?
Well, I'm calling from the all-night cafeteria at the Student Union building.
I'll be there.
Oh, thank you, Professor.
I had to see you. And I didn't think it would be proper for me to go to your apartment at this hour.
Well, what seems to be the problem, Miss Powers?
The story.
The story?
The story of Charity Youngblood.
Well, I thought we decided to drop it.
But that's the problem. I can't seem to get it out of my mind.
Well, I'm sure you...
It's taken over. I can't think of anything else. I'm obsessed by it. This girl, Charity Youngblood. I know her so well, I sometimes think... No, you'll laugh.
No, tell me.
I sometimes think she's me.
Well, of course she's you.
What are you saying?
Well, when you write fiction, every character has to be yourself in one form or another.
No, no, it's more than that. It's a feeling in my bones. I seem to have an urge to do something.
What?
I don't know. But I keep writing. Now, I've written 20 pages so far, and most of the time it doesn't even seem that I'm the one who's doing the writing. I get the feeling that I'm just holding the pen, and my hand is being guided. I'd like you to read what I've written so far. Please.
Miss Powers, you've been working too hard.
No, I just feel that something is happening to me. I seem to feel I have some sort of mission.
What kind of mission?
Well, I don't know. But every day I feel it's becoming clearer. But I still have no idea of what it is.
And every day, Mr. Evans, she would hand me a chapter of her novel. And that novel will win me acquittal in court.
Why?
Because each chapter is word for word a day in Charity Youngblood's original diary. In Madeline Betty's own handwriting.
Where's that novel now?
In my desk. I did everything I could to get her to stop writing, hoping that somehow I could get her mind off it. But of course that was useless. After all, if she really was Charity Youngblood, and there was no doubt in my mind about it, nothing would stop her from finding it out. And every day she was getting closer. Not just to Charity, but to me.
Professor, I decided to give Charity a love interest. We're about to have the war, and I've created a young cavalry officer of the Connecticut Brigade. I have a name for him. Eli Wallington.
Eli Wallington?
Yes.
Miss Powers, you've already written more than enough to earn a good grade. It's already longer than the average term paper.
Oh, but I have to finish.
Why? This whole thing started as a term project.
Yes, it started that way, but now it's something that belongs to me, and I can't help it. I have to keep writing until...
Until?
Until something happens.
What? What is supposed to happen?
I don't know. But I'm afraid. I'm very much afraid.
I was afraid, too, Mr. Evans. Afraid that at any time she would suddenly realize that she wanted to kill me.
But surely you realize...
What? You mean I had nothing to be afraid of? Suppose someone's determined to kill you, and you know it. You tell me.
You know what I think? Although it's academic now. I think you should have gone to a psychiatrist.
I did. I went to the top. I went to the head of the Department of Psychiatry at the University Hospital.
Now, let us see if we can delve into the core of these hallucinations.
No, let's not, Dr. Laffer. You see, these are not hallucinations.
No.
No. These are matters of fact. I know them to be true.
You're talking about reincarnation.
Yes. And you obviously don't believe in it.
that's hardly the point. It may exist, for all I know. However, if it does, then we have no way of knowing who we were in a past lifetime.
Perhaps we had no way of knowing. Perhaps today, with heightened powers of communication, perhaps our modern scientific technology has upset certain natural balances. Whatever. The fact is, I know.
If you know, you know. What do you want me to do?
Suggest a way I can live with it.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Look, if a man was an alcoholic or a drug addict or a gambler, and he said to you, this is what's wrong with me, how do I live with it? What would you tell him?
You are oversimplifying.
I am a... I'll coin the word. Reincarnate. How do I live with it? Especially since my life is in danger.
Very well. Why is your life in danger?
I told you. Charity Youngblood wants her revenge. And she's here in the person of Madeline Betty Powers to exact it.
Don't you see what you must do?
No.
This is all within the framework you yourself have created. If you remove the motive, you can prevent the crime.
I still don't know what
if
you mean.
If she wants to kill you because you jilted her, well, all you have to do is give her satisfaction.
How?
Marry her.
Marry her? Marry Madeline Betty? She's hardly my type.
You're 32 years old. You're not married. Are you going with anyone?
No. But marry her? How do I know she'll have me?
Were you once Eli Wallington?
Yes.
Was she once Charity Youngblood?
Yes.
She'll have you.
Oh, Professor Patterson, you really didn't have to take me to dinner.
Well, our conference ran late. We have to eat.
Well, I mean, to a place like this.
Well, this is a very nice place. Or so I thought.
Oh.
Would you care to dance?
Oh, no, thank you. I dance rather poorly.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Why can't you believe it?
Because you're so charming.
I don't think so. At least no one ever told me that.
But I think so.
Do you? Why?
Well, it's a subjective thing.
I lied to you just now. I said I dance poorly. The truth is, I don't dance at all.
How is that possible?
Girls who don't get asked usually don't bother to learn. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's just that since the day I met you, I started thinking. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, what were you thinking?
Oh, crazy things. That is, for me. I suddenly wanted to write a book. Why, I'll never know. And I began thinking of a girl who lived hundreds of years ago in a place I'd never heard of. I can't understand it.
Madeline Betty, maybe I can help you.
Would you, Professor Patterson?
Rex. Go on, say it. Call me Rex.
Rex.
I've also felt something since the time you walked into my study for conference. And I've been trying to analyze it. And I finally discovered what it is. It's love.
Professor Patterson.
Rex. And so I'm asking you, I hope, that you will marry me.
If you're going along with what Rex believes, they're playing the scene again. Rex and Madeline Betty have now reached the point where Eli proposed to Charity. Charity said yes, but will Madeline Betty? Yes or no will be the first word you will hear when we return shortly with Act 3.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
the good, the bad, and the heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because
because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
What will it be, senor?
Give me the special K breakfast.
Here you go. Four special K, it's the milk, orange juice, and coffee. Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my ball and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal. Starting with this here special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of this here ball and chain.
I bet your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain. Fight the dust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
I'm Cliff Robertson, and I made a picture not long ago called Charlie, where I played the part of a man who was mentally retarded. I'd like to tell you a little of what I learned. Thousands and thousands of mentally retarded children are born each year. It can happen to any family, rich or poor. It makes no difference. Except some children are luckier than others. Some kids can be just a little slow in learning. But some will never learn much of anything at all. But every one of them can be helped, and that perhaps is the most important thing that I found out. These kids have a right to a chance to learn as much about how to live a normal life as they can. The National Association for Retarded Children and its nearly 1,500 local associations are helping to give them that chance. Will you help, too, by supporting the work of your local association for retarded children? Thank you.
Eliminate the motive, and you prevent the crime. Excellent advice, and Rexford Patterson has taken it. He has just proposed to Madeline Betty Powers because it's the only way he can think of to keep her from killing him. And now, she looks at him and says...
Yes, Professor Patterson. Yes.
You can't agree to marry a man and call him Professor Patterson.
Rex.
I know it's sudden, Madeline Betty. We can get married after you graduate.
Oh, I'll marry you anytime you say... Rex. I love you.
I love you, too.
I fell in love with you. I must have been at first sight.
Why?
Why? Because you're handsome.
I was hoping I had other qualities.
Oh, you do. You do. But being handsome is part of it. Why did you fall in love with me?
Because you're beautiful.
Oh.
No, you don't believe it.
No, Well, I feel beautiful. You make me feel beautiful. Oh, Rex. I can't believe this is happening to me.
It's happening. It's happening to both of us.
And I'll be such a good wife for you.
What is it?
Oh, my head.
What's the matter?
Suddenly feels so light, so clear.
Well, that's good.
And... different.
Different?
Yes, different.
How?
The book. You know the novel that I'm writing for the course?
Yes.
All of a sudden, I don't want to write it anymore.
Why not?
I don't know how it came into my head in the first place. Just as suddenly as it came, it's... gone out.
Gone out?
That girl, Charity...
Oh, yes, Charity, the heroine of your book.
Yes, that's her name. Yes, I seem to remember. Well, she's gone from my mind, too. I simply can't understand how it happened.
Well, why bother?
Yes, that's right. Oh, why bother about anything except us? Except you and me.
So you proposed to her, Professor, and you were accepted. She seemed happy. Apparently you were reconciled. What was the problem?
The problem was, Mr. Evans, I didn't really love her. Just as Eli didn't really love Charity.
But within the theory you'd set up.
Don't call theory. It's a fact.
Oh, whatever. But this is what you had to do. You had to marry the girl.
And I tried hard. But she made it impossible.
What did she do?
Nothing, really. She was just so grateful to me. You pay attention to a wallflower, and what you create for yourself is a clinging vine. A vine that can strangle and suffocate you. And besides...
Yes?
Besides, there was Susan Miller. Come in, Madeline Betty.
I'm not Madeline Betty, but I came in anyhow.
Well, how do you do?
Professor Patterson?
Yes?
I'm Susan Miller, of the English department.
You're new here.
Oh, I received my teaching appointment last week. Early American Lit.
A favorite field of mine.
Well, that's the scoop on campus. Anything early American, see Rex Patterson. I just thought we'd chat.
Fix you a drink?
A soft one.
Naturally.
Diet, if you have it. I'm watching my weight.
Why? I think it's most attractive the way it is.
Well, if you think so, I'll keep it that way. Did you know that General Burgoyne wrote a play?
Yes, it was called Maid of the Oaks.
And it was produced in New York during the Revolution.
Yes, and I'll tell you who was in the cast. And that's how it all started, Mr. Evans. Easy, relaxed, delightful. There is such a thing as love at first sight. And it was there for both of us.
But Madeline Betty.
Madeline Betty. Well, I knew I had to do something about her.
Exactly, so you killed her.
No. No, that's not the reason.
You wanted to marry Susan Miller.
It never reached that point. I mean, we didn't get that far.
But the prosecution will know about Susan Miller.
No. They don't have to. No one really knew.
No one?
No one. Except Susan, myself, and Madeline Betty.
I'll get it. Hello?
Hello. Is Rex, Professor Patterson there?
Oh, who's calling?
This is Susan. Miss Susan Miller.
Rex, it's for you, Miss Susan Miller.
Oh, thank you, Madeline. Yes, Susan?
Rex, how about a drive in the country?
I have considerable work to do.
But I thought you had nothing to do all weekend.
So did I, but, I have this research project.
I see. Did your project answer the phone?
No. No, it's nothing like that.
Well, maybe we can get together tomorrow.
Sure thing. Goodbye.
Bye.
And who is Susan Miller?
She teaches here.
I'll bet. What does she teach?
English. You could look it up in the catalog.
I'm sorry. I'm so jealous. Forgive me.
You're forgiven.
I just can't believe my good luck, that's all. Rex, you said you'd marry me any time I chose.
Well, yes.
Well, I choose now.
Now?
Well, next month. I want Mother and Dad and my sisters, and I have some cousins. I'd like to see the looks on their faces. The first Sunday next month. That's almost 4 weeks from now. Is that all right?
Well,
You haven't changed your mind, have you?
But I had changed my mind, Doctor.
I see.
I wish I knew what doctors meant when they say, I see.
Patterson, you are the one who set up the ground rules. You said she was Charity Youngblood, reincarnated to have her revenge.
I know. I know.
And using that, I suggested marriage. It was your only chance.
I realize that, but you see, I really don't believe that anymore.
You don't?
I should have listened to you when you called it an hallucination.
You agree with that now?
I think I do.
What caused this radical change?
I'm in love.
With whom?
A woman.
A woman?
Yes, a woman. Not a girl, not an immature and neurotic girl, but a woman. A woman who is beautiful, intelligent, who has everything in common with me, who has something to offer me, just as I have something to offer her.
And what of Madeline Betty and Charity Youngblood?
Charity Youngblood was an adolescent delusion.
You're hardly an adolescent.
In many respects, I was. I fell in love with the idea of Charity Youngblood, this voluptuous creature, but...
Yes.
You grow up when you meet a real woman.
As I said before, you're hardly a boy.
It takes some of us longer than others.
And Madeline Betty, what of her?
She'll have to grow up, too.
Somehow, all this, it doesn't seem fair to her.
Life itself is unfair, Doctor.
You make everything seem very neat. Somehow, I don't think you'll be able to unwrap the package as easily as you think.
I told you, Madeline, Betty, I told
you. But you said you loved me.
I thought I did.
No.
But please, Madeline, Betty, don't make this difficult for both of us.
Oh, Rex, please, marry me.
No, it wouldn't be right.
I told everyone, my parents, my sister, my friends. Oh, Rex, what can I tell them now?
Would you want us to live a lie?
I don't care. Rex, why did you do this to me?
These things happen.
You loved because I was here. You went somewhere else. You saw someone else. Now you love someone else.
What are you saying?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Look, you'll find someone else, too.
I'm sorry, Rex. I've been speaking to you like a fool. You want to break our engagement?
Only because it would be best for both of us.
For whatever reason, I won't stand in your way.
Excuse me. Hello?
Rex?
Could you...
She doesn't have to call back. I'm leaving. But before I go, Rex, I'd like to have a memento of us. I'll leave you what I wrote about Charity Youngblood, and, could I have...
Anything, Madeline Betty.
That...
Anything.
Pistol, that old broken antique pistol? Well,
certainly, of course.
Well, goodbye, Eli.
What did you say?
Nothing.
What did you call me?
I called you by your name. Goodbye.
That night, Mr. Evans, she left the college. Her roommate called me and said... Madeline Betty had disappeared.
Didn't you feel that perhaps you should investigate?
No. Well, to tell you the truth, I felt relieved. I thought she was embarrassed and had decided to go somewhere, and I forgot all about her.
You forgot? How could you forget?
Maybe I wanted to forget. Anyway, about a week later, I came home. It was late at night.
Good evening.
What are you doing here?
I have a key, remember?
Look, What can I do for you?
Nothing. Ask me what I can do for you.
What?
I can kill you.
What are you saying?
Yes. I can kill you very easily. And I'm going to.
Madeline Betty,
Who are you talking to? My name is Charity.
Charity?
Yes, Eli. Charity. Remember Charity?
No, you're Madeline
it's
Betty.
It's taken me such a long time to find you, Eli. Such a long time.
Listen to me. I'm not Eli. I'm Rex Patterson, and you're not Charity. You're Madeline Betty
Sweet
Powers.
Talk, Eli. You always could do it, but it doesn't go with me anymore.
Look, Madeline Betty, I'll have to ask you to leave.
Oh, I will. After I kill you.
No, you can't kill me.
I can, with this.
What are you talking about? With that rusty old antique pistol?
No, not anymore.
I brought it home to Father, to Isaiah Youngblood's gun shop, and I said, Father, fix this pistol. And he did, you see, how he cleaned it and oiled it. See how it shines now.
Madeline,
don't
Betty.
Move any closer. Not one step closer. See how it sparkles. He gave it a new primer and a fresh flint, fitted a new flash pan, and then primed it, poured in the powder, rammed home the ball, and now it's ready to fire.
Charity, no, no.
Get away from me. Take your hands
no,
off
no.
me. Get away
drop
from
it.
Me.
Drop it. Charity, drop it! We struggled for the gun, and at the last second, the barrel must have turned toward her, and she pulled the trigger.
And that's your defense?
That's my defense.
You want me to plead that defense?
I want you to tell the jury exactly what happened, why it happened, and the way it happened. Show them the written proof.
You're sure that's what you want me to do?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure because it's the truth.
Well, I hope the jury buys it.
Would you have bought Professor Patterson's story? You would. A pity you weren't on the jury. Because 12 good men and true, actually, 6 of them were women, deliberated for a full week and decided that Rex would have to pay the price. Not just the price for Madeline Betty, but also, as it turned out, the price for Charity. I'll be back shortly.
I've found the work to be really challenging, and I enjoy it a lot.
If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be in it.
People.
My orientation all my life has been, you know, to help.
I wouldn't have been in Red Cross if I didn't care, you know, about people.
People who care about other people.
It's an opportunity for me to help other people and to see my efforts and my skill pay off.
It's just a very rewarding feeling to think that some little thing you've done is going to help somebody else.
It's the joy you feel when you've helped someone.
People who help other people.
It's like anybody involved with Red Cross programs. They want to volunteer and they want to help.
They are just that type of person who will go out of their way to do anything for anybody at any time, and it carries over to the work they do for the Red Cross.
You know, it's like they're there when you need them.
The people who are the good neighbor, the American Red Cross.
I think that anything you know in this world, if you don't use it when it's needed, what good is it?
Can a desire for revenge span the centuries? Not a comforting thought, exactly. It's all most of us can do to hew to the straight and narrow during one lifetime if we're going to have to pay for the sins of other incarnations and existences. Well, who has the price? But there is no price for our next meeting, when we shall enjoy another suspenseful experience. Our cast included Michael Tolan, Marion Seldes, E.V. Juster, Ira Lewis, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Can we try and uncover the rest of the body?
Of course. Jimmy, get 3 or 4 fellows to help you. I do it carefully, please. There's no way of telling the body's position.
Sure thing, Professor.
Oh, this is awful. What are we going to do?
Don't worry, Professor. Ancient bodies are your specialty. Fresh ones are mine.
Yes, but this is liable to stop our work. This place will be crawling with police, newsmen, television crews, what all?
Really? Why? Isn't murder a little too common to rate that kind of attention?
But how do you know it is murder?
Miss Lathrop, you surprise me. A suicide may dig her own grave, but you'd hardly expect her to pull the dirt in after her.
Ah! Look, look, the hand is attached only to bones, to a skeleton.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Starting today, no gasoline station operator can legally refuse to sell you gas just because you're not a regular customer. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Federal Energy Office has ruled that that kind of discriminatory selling is illegal, and customers who get the runaround are asked to file a complaint with the nearest field office of the Internal Revenue Service. The same rule applies to sellers of diesel fuel. Another state joins the ranks of gas ration plans today. Pennsylvania will have a voluntary, odd, even-number plan, but Governor Schaaf says that he will ask the legislature to make the plan mandatory. Seven other states have ration plans. The latest on the Hearst kidnapping in a minute.
From the moment that a child becomes aware of himself as a thinking being, he begins the difficult task of learning to communicate. For a while, gestures coupled with sounds are all he has. Then, gradually, he starts to assimilate the language he hears. And finally, the breakthrough and the miracle of human speech is his. As difficult as that process is for a child born without handicaps, imagine what it's like for one with cerebral palsy. In addition to the brain damage, which may make it difficult to walk or even use his hands, very often his speech center may have been affected as well. Although speech therapy may help, guttural sounds and slurred consonants may be the best he can muster in his effort to communicate. Imagine that same child years later. For children with cerebral palsy do grow up, and they need you then as much as ever to be understood, to find jobs, to enjoy life. Think about that when you are asked to give to United Cerebral Palsy.
The father of kidnapped Patricia Hearst reportedly is considering plans to agree to demands from Patricia's kidnappers. The Symbionese Liberation Army demands, for starters, that Hearst donate $70 worth of free food to every California resident who is eligible for Social Security and or welfare. That's estimated to be about $300 million worth of food. After that's done, the kidnappers say they'll negotiate for Patricia's release. The Hearsts heard a tape recording of Patricia on Tuesday. She says she's all right except for a cold and a few scrapes. She says she's not being treated badly.
I'm kept blindfolded, usually so that I can't identify anyone. My hands are often tied, but they're not. I'm not gagged or anything, and I'm comfortable, and I think you can tell that I'm not really terrified or anything.
Patricia Hearst asks her family to take the kidnappers seriously and to obey their demands. An FBI agent says that Patricia's voice sounds as if she might be very tired or drugged. A Hearst family spokesman, Jack Cook, agrees that Patricia sounds tired, but he says that the family is relieved nevertheless.
I think they feel that it's Patty's voice, and they're obviously relieved to hear her voice and to know that she's alive and being looked after.
A spokesman for the Hearst family. Lawyers for former presidential appointment secretary Dwight Chapin have asked a Washington court for a transcript of a presidential tape recording. That tape contains a conversation between the president and former White House counsel John Dean. Fred Graham has more on the story.
For several weeks, Republican spokesmen led by Senate Minority Leader Hugh Scott have insisted that certain of the tapes support Mr. Nixon and show Dean to be a liar. Chapin has retained close contacts with the White House, and it's been widely assumed that he would be able to learn which of the seven tapes subpoenaed by the grand jury might damage the credibility of Dean. Dean will be a key witness against Chapin in his trial for allegedly lying under oath to a Watergate grand jury. Chapin's lawyers filed court papers challenging Dean's statements about one occasion, his testimony that on March 13th, he and Mr. Nixon discussed the Watergate cover-up. Mr. Nixon has said he did not learn of the cover-up until later. Chapin's attorneys demanded that a transcript of that tape be turned over to them because they said they have reason to believe it will prove that Dean lied. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
More after this.
In 1919, someone had a big idea. Let's help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own. And Junior Achievement was born. Each group elected a board of directors, chose a product, set up a production line, sold stock, and went into business. That year, 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, Junior Achievement has grown to nearly 200,000 members. Junior Achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services, from cutting boards to printing. They're organizing sales efforts, writing marketing plans, calculating profit and loss. Running these small businesses helps Junior Achievers understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business. Call your local Junior Achievement office.
CBS radio affiliate KNX reports that a small group of veterans has occupied the West Los Angeles office of Senator Alan Cranston. The veterans say they'll stay there until a meeting scheduled today with the senator. The veterans are complaining about what they call shoddy treatment at VA hospitals in the area. Ann Crosman, CBS News.